You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
I know we've all seen Interstellar several times and loved it and totally understood everything in it, so there's no reason for me to mansplain singularities to everyone, but just in case someone doesn't know, in general relativity, a naked singularity is a hypothetical gravitational singularity without an event horizon. In a black hole, the singularity is completely enclosed by a boundary known as the event horizon, and inside which the gravitational force of the singularity is so strong that light can't escape it. Obviously, all that goes without saying. As a film, Naked Singularity is about Casey, played by John Boyega, as a promising young New York City public defender whose idealism is beginning to crack under the daily injustices of the very justice system he's trying to make right. Doubting all he has worked for and seeing signs of the universe collapsing all around him, he is convinced by his coke-snorting buddy, played by Bill Skarsgård, to rip off a multi-million-dollar drug deal of one of his unpredictable former clients, played by Olivia Cooke, in an effort to beat the broken system at its own game, as we are all experts on quantum physics. Thank you, Christopher Nolan, and totally understand how the quantum theories and the premise of this film connect to one another. It's probably worth listening to us chat about the deeper context of this pseudo sci-fi drama with a touch of cosmic levity. I am TC DeWitz of the Screener Squad, and I am joined today by Dr. Jordan.
You know, this is probably why Finn didn't become a Jedi. It's because he listened to a goddamn child-eating space clown.
And Dr. Chad.
Good evening.
Lady and gentlemen, shall we unravel the mysteries of this universe?
I should note, my doctorate is only honorary, but I'm pretty sure it's the same. And I would like to mention John Boyega, who I think we can all agree, after all the, you know, how outspoken he really is, we're all really hoping that he's able to still have a career.
Oh, yeah. I hope he isn't blacklisted because of his ability to rally a crowd behind a good cause.
Oh, absolutely. And he is outstanding here. I really found him to be quite an effective protagonist.
He's always good. Even in less than good movies, even in bad movies, I feel like John Boyega really shines every time. He has a very natural quality to him and a very impressive American accent for a Brit.
Yeah, I almost forgot for a second where it's like, so is this the same kid I saw in Attack the Block?
Right. If you haven't seen Attack the Block, it's such a great movie to begin with, but it's a great breakout role for him as well. But speaking of Naked Singularity here, Chad, you're being a little quiet here. What did you think of this movie?
I enjoyed it. I do agree that John Boyega is great in basically everything he's in. Doesn't matter if it's good or bad. It was a good movie. I felt like it should have leaned into the sci-fi more.
Yeah, agreed.
It just felt empty in that. Like, it felt there was this build-up to this big sci-fi ending. Whether or not it was, you know, a $50,000 special effects budget or a Chris Nolan budget. Like, I was expecting something.
Yeah.
And it just kind of fell flat. I like the ending, how Cassie kind of, Casey.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. How he ends up not beating the system, but making it his own way.
Mm-hmm.
I did like that, but yeah, I just thought it was flat at the end as far as the premise of this multiverse theory.
Mm-hmm. A lot of promise, a lot of setup without a lot of payoff. And I'm wondering, Chad, you are an editor professionally. Do you feel like this movie got trimmed down to make that 90-minute runtime? Because for me, it felt like it should have been longer.
Yeah, it definitely felt like there were things cut out. It happens all the time. Mm-hmm. I didn't notice it that much in this movie. Because like, it had all the setup in the first two acts. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt it was there, but that third act, it just didn't lean into what it was setting up.
Jordan, you being a filmmaker as well, you review from that storyteller's eye. I know several people on One of Us come at film criticism with the view of a film viewer. And there are people on the site here, the three of us included, who are filmmakers. And so I do feel like that affects how we review. And I'm curious if you, from your filmmaker's perspective, were skewed into one direction or another while viewing this.
I kind of was. I do recommend this movie. I highly enjoyed it, especially for that bonkers, absurd third act that we should mention is Colin Powell's fault.
Yeah.
There's some interesting spins on philosophy of different types of people. You get Tim Blake Nelson talking about quantum physics and stuff like that. But then you have Bill Skarsgård throwing a Colin Powell quote at John Boyega to convince him.
For any sort of thing like this, who do you get to actually make some of this weird shit believable or be a wise sage? You get Tim Blake Nelson. I mean, hey, it worked for Watchmen. It really did. I thought it was going for more sort of urban fantasy sci-fi sort of idea with how Boyega was viewing things. You know, just seeing the clock twitch outside the courthouse and even the absurd temperatures that was being reached because it is in the middle of a heat wave, and I have looked it up mainly for story purposes because I'm always curious. Yeah, there is a correlation between rising crime rates and heat waves, which blew my mind because that is kind of the last fucking thing I'd want to do if I'm sweating my balls off.
It's just that building anger. And one thing adding to the aggression is also the blackouts that keep happening. Which
yeah,
are pretty typical.
It kind of fucked with me having seen In the Heights, and I was waiting for, like, ooh, when's Jimmy Smits come out? And we a lively number. I thought it could have blended the more realism and urban, you know, sci-fi a little bit better, since some of the explanations of physics comes up rather randomly, but it didn't deter from my enjoyment. I mean, if anything, I was still trying to focus on how fucking creepy Ed Skarin is.
He plays, is that the guy who plays Craig, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Francis from Deadpool.
From Deadpool, yeah.
He plays a good, creepy, good-looking asshole crook. And I could see why Olivia Cooke would be more or less charmed by him to a point, but not want to put up with his bullshit.
That just reminded me why I'm a lesbian.
This movie has a weird mix of that hot summer, late 70s vibe, like Serpico or Taken of Pelham 1-2-3, and then more modern sci-fi, urban fantasy. I like that use of that term. Something like Limitless, where you're not quite sure what's real or what's the perception of our protagonist. So seeing John Boyega float, right? Did he float or was that his perception of floating? And I would have loved more of that. I would have loved more of that misunderstanding, that blending of what is real, what is not, what's breaking.
Yeah, that would have helped. I will say this movie is good at building tension. Mm-hmm. I thought it did a really good job of that, especially in that third act, which for me is the highlight of this movie. I mean, it's a well-acted film.
Yes.
I did also enjoy Bill Skarsgård because it did take me a minute to realize it was him.
Oh, I knew immediately. That face.
That face. Those eyes.
Yeah, like as soon as I got used to the face, I was like, oh, fuck.
The cast is really good. This whole movie is good. So this is a directorial debut here as well. That's another thing.
Yeah, and I was also surprised. I thought this was like, ooh, who came up with this idea? Turns out it was based on a novel from a first-time writer as well. So
it's Chase Palmer who wrote It Chapter 1. So that's the Bill Skarsgård connection right there. And there's a cool style to this movie. It sort of feels like a slowed down Guy Ritchie style film with the heist elements. And it even opened with the narration we don't get any other time with John Boyega that felt almost as far back as I can remember. I always wanted to be a public defender.
And also how everyone is connected, since that's also just very Guy Ritchie.
And it's cool. It has a cool look to it. It has a cool style to it. It has a cool pace to it. And I wish there was more. I really do, because I did like the blended elements of, like I said, the perception of reality altering stuff. I would have loved more of that, because it feels like that drops off in the third act when the heist starts taking off and we forego the inexplicable to those very Ocean's 11 style split screens where you're seeing this happen while they're explaining that happen. And I like that. Yeah. I thought that was great. I just missed what we got in the first half of the movie as well.
Exactly. And I agree with Jordan too. Like, it's a good movie. Like, I enjoyed it. And the third act is good, but because it doesn't fill that gap that it created, I feel like this movie is going to be forgettable, unfortunately. Even though it should be popular, it should be seen. Like, it's good. It's fun.
I feel like this is one of those movies that's just going to fall to the wayside because of COVID and not getting a big theatrical release that it probably had deserved, timed differently as opposed to getting dumped off now because the theaters are opening back up. And that's probably also why it was trimmed down, because I genuinely feel like this probably was a bit longer and some executives said, get it down to 90 so we can have more showings of it and make more money on it.
I expect when this gets a home video release, there will be deleted scenes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this movie might fall by the wayside, and that does disappoint me. You know, as Chad said, mainly because I do want people to see this, mainly for John Boyega, to show him like he is an amazing talent and that hopefully has a long and wonderful career ahead of him.
He does. I love the sequels, so I'll go on record and I don't care what kind of flack I get for that. But
I like two thirds.
But like Detroit and even the stupid kaiju movies, like
Pacific Rim 2.
Yeah. Like, he's good. He's really good. And he represents somebody that doesn't look like us, but that's a lot more important to other people.
Agreed. He is very cool.
We are only seeing the beginning of his career. In the same way you can go back and look at early Denzel, or you can look at, I want to compare him to Tom Cruise in this actually, because I caught shades of The Firm in that intensity and maybe not running his ass off, but that sort of almost geeky determination that you get from a lawyer. So yeah, I expect we're going to see him continue to shine. And I think movies like this are important. Movies like Attack the Block, movies like Detroit, which aren't going to be blockbusters. He handled the blockbuster thing. He did Star Wars and he got that out of his system to become a household name. And it's movies like this that are really good that are going to lay some foundation for some pretty incredible stuff from him in the future. And that's not to sell the rest of the cast short either, because I think Bill Skarsgård has really got a cool character he's portraying, and you can see a lot of neat, nuanced choices he's making. Olivia Cooke, who I can only think of from Ready Player One. I don't know what else she's been in without looking her up. I thought she was great in this. And it's another example of someone who is in a blockbuster who is shining in a much more grounded
indie. I'll take your word for it, because I still have no plans on seeing Ready Player One.
If you haven't seen it by this point, don't bother.
Well, I thought mainly because I abhor that book.
It's all right.
And there's the judge. The judge is being played by
a
Broadway
actress.
Oh,
what a bitch. Just,
but that's a good actress, though.
No, I know. It's such a good performance, but I was still just like, man, even Matt Murdock can see what a bitch you are.
But I think that's something that is tapping into the more 70s vibe that I was getting from this film in its setting and in its tone, is that this movie's got some fun to it. It's funny in some ways. It's not like laugh out loud. You're not watching Anchorman here, but it's got a dark sense of humor to it, poking fun at the justice system, poking fun at New York attitudes. And I dug it. I mean, even the whole fact that we're going up against Hasidic Jewish gangsters, right?
Which one of them is played by Kyle Mooney from SNL.
Kyle Mooney has a small little cameo. I thought that was him. Oh, that little bit of weird levity blends nicely with the other oddities of this movie.
Yeah.
I'd love to go into some final thoughts here, because ultimately what I'm going to say here is that this is a movie worth seeing. And I think if you're in the right mood to see it, you're going to appreciate what you get here. So I'll go into my final thoughts. There are two movies here. And they are both good. There is the disenfranchised, idealistic lawyer being crushed by the legal system that he's devoted his life to. That's a good movie. And then there's this Guy Ritchie-esque heist movie that doesn't have the kinetic pace and energy, but it does have that fun connective tissue that pays off with the fun end of this movie. And that unfolds really well. But both of them feel just a touch undercooked, because this is a cool movie, but it's never as cool as it could be. The cast is great. Everybody's acting so well. Like we've just said here, John Boyega's got a future, and I do genuinely think that he's good in everything he's in, whether it's a bad movie or a good movie. With the right mood watching this, I think it's going to engage through and through, and I'm still thinking about it. Obviously, we're sitting here reviewing it. I took some time to digest it after watching it, and I feel like this is one that I'm going to keep thinking about for the next few days, because it's got a cool panache to it. I just wish it had come together just a little better at the end. And there's a universe out there where this movie is spectacular. But here in our world, I'm going to give it 6 out of 10 rolling New York blackouts. Jordan, why don't you go next?
What we have here is a really damn good movie. It is a really fun movie. It's this weird blend of some genres that honestly fascinated me, because I do like that sort of absurdist reality to just everything. It's the only thing that'll make fucking bureaucracy interesting. I mean, look at what Loki did with it. It really will depend on how you can sell this movie to people, because, okay, so pretty much disenfranchised lawyer steals money from Hasidic Jewish mobsters, but also he might be God. I don't know. That's the best I could do. It's also very funny at some points, especially Bill Skarsgård doing his best homage to Sean Penn in Carlito's Way. I'll give it 8 out of 10 katanas.
Oh, there's a great moment when that sword is revealed. It's on the poster, so you're waiting for the whole movie. It's
the entire
Chekhov's
movie.
Katana.
I love how low-key it is just presented.
Yeah, it's panning across his apartment the first time you see it, and it just flickers some light above the door, and it's a great moment.
And you get the explanation, and it's like the lamest fucking thing possible.
Yeah. I thought that was the best excuse.
Yeah.
I hope you know how to use that thing.
It's the lamest exposition, but it's also kind of the best. It wraps around.
Mm-hmm. So what's cool about this movie is not how idyllic Casey is. I understand his frustration just following how our criminal justice system works in the United States of America. It's just, you know, it's true. And then seeing it on the screen like this is just like, everything's so depressing and hopeless. But it's the little moments, like having this samurai sword. And the reason why Casey character gets it is payment, essentially, for representing somebody that wouldn't have had a chance. And he fought hard. And so he got the sword. And it's the little moments like that in this movie that really make it stand out. It's fresh. And if it had just been like, I don't know, 7 minutes longer with a little bit more context and a little bit more weird at the end, like it could have been a perfect movie. That being said, I'll give it 6.5 bumps out of 10.
6.5 bumps, which begs the question. Has there ever been a bad idea from someone who's just done a line in the back of a club bathroom, right? Every idea
never.
Is good in those. There's never been a bad idea.
College kids who think Scarface is the coolest thing ever.
Right. So they're right. So we all agree here that.
Yeah.